What is your name?
My name is Kit Walker.
And where do you live?
I live in Ashland, Kansas.
What's your occupation?
I'm a farmer and a rancher.
And how old are you?
I'm 41 years old.
Okay. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire in general?
It was about 12 o'clock. I was eating at the country store, and we heard the fire whistles go off, and so that was probably our first knowledge that there was something. There was a fire somewhere.
What was your immediate reaction?
Oh, crap. You know, because the wind was blowing really strong and we were super dry. And so immediately we went and started getting all our equipment ready for, you know, just in case. We didn't know where it was at the time, but we later found out, you know, that it was getting pretty close to home.
So it started over at Inglewood. Do you have, or in south in Oklahoma, but do you have any land over that way?
No, we do not. But we knew the wind was out of the southwest at the time, mm-hmm. and that any fire that was southwest of us, which we did find out, you know, it was in that area that, you know, at 40-mile-an-hour winds or whatever they were at, that it was going to be on top of Ashland sooner than later. And I've got friends and folks to the southwest of us, so we kind of prepared to load up our tankers and our spray rigs and head towards the southwest. It was our initial thought.
So you say you have a tanker and you have a spray rig. Mm-hmm. How much water can you carry?
Oh, I don't know what that tanker holds. I'd say it'll hold 25 ton of fertilizer. So, I mean, it's several thousand gallons, you know. Yeah. It's a semi tanker, and then our spray rig holds 300 gallons. So, you know, it's not a whole lot, but, you know, whatever we could do to help was our idea.
Did you get a chance to go help anyone or...
We got loaded up and headed, went into town, filled up with water and everything else, and started to head southwest when we received a phone call that we had a fire on us up towards Mineola. And so we quickly turned around and headed back north to go see if we could help with the fire up on the north end.
Was someone with you?
Yeah, I had Corey McCann with me. And then Brock Lang was driving our semi-truck, and we were all kind of going to stay together. And then as we filled up and we're headed southwest, then we turned around and headed back north, I actually picked up Russ Hensley. He wanted to go and help drive or do whatever. So that was our crew.
Did you first see smoke or fire when you went north?
We saw the smoke as we were going up the hill towards what we call the Rock House. We could see the smoke rolling up there, but the wind was still out of the southwest, and so we could see the smoke being pushed off away, and so we could see flames, and we really weren't too concerned about that fire at the time. It was on us, but it was just going to clip the north end of our ranch, and we didn't have any livestock in the area, so... our focus was still kind of on the fire towards the southwest. Once we got up there and saw where that fire was at and it was headed for a wheat field, we kind of thought, you know, maybe we need to head back south of town and help folks down there. And we were told by the fire department, Mineola Fire Department, who was up there when we got up there, we filled a couple of their trucks up, that the wind they weren't anticipating the wind shift out of the north till later on that evening, and that was probably around... Oh, I don't know what time it was, probably 3 o'clock, somewhere in there. And so we kind of loaded up our stuff and started heading back south again.
So, and when did you have fire hit your land again?
Well, that fire never officially went out. We turned around and headed back towards Ashland. Matter of fact, got swung by the ranch, by our headquarters, and... went ahead and hosed our house, the house I grew up in. We, you know, soaked it really good and soaked all our barns and everything really good with water. Got a tractor on a disc and had them farming around the house just in case. And then we headed on south into Ashland. And I left my stepfather back with the tractor. And I said, if that wind shifts, you know, holler at us and we'll turn around and we'll come back and see what we can do to help here. And he said, okay, yeah, I'll go south. And at that time, I think Ashland was being evacuated. And so, you know, my wife and family were a little nervous, and so I wanted to run back into town anyway and tell them, you know, everything's
So did they evacuate?
Okay. Yes, they left.
And where
left.
Did they go?
They went to Coldwater. They went to Coldwater.
Okay, so did they evacuate pretty close to the time when they asked them to evacuate, or was
they
it later?
No, she waited. She was probably an hour behind, hour and a half behind. She called me right after she heard, and I said, just sit tight for just a minute, and because I wanted to see them before they left. I was going to have them leave anyway. But at the time, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was, you know, we're going to get it knocked down or we're going to get it put out. So I wasn't, you know, we still weren't in super panic mode on our end. I mean, we could see smoke, but we still hadn't seen them, other than the flames we saw up there. But like I said, that was all hitting a wheat field, and yeah, wasn't anywhere for it to go.
So did she have to drive through any smoke on her way?
By the time she left, it was getting pretty hazy around here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, like a fog.
Did they plan to stay gone for a while? Or
she had no idea. What's funny is, back to earlier in the day when I was eating lunch at the restaurant, right before I'd gone there, I'd gone by the house, and I went in and I said, look, there's a really strong winds and there's some fires supposedly started down south. I said, there's a outside chance that they might ask people to evacuate or something. I had no clue. I said, I just don't want you to panic. She's like, well, should I start packing stuff? It's like, oh, no, it's... No, it's never not going to get that bad.
Yeah.
And then later, whenever we were hosing off the house and stuff, my mom was at the house, and she said, well, should I start getting pictures and stuff out of the house? I'm like, no, Mom, we'll stop it before it hits a house or before it gets to Ashland. I said, it's not that, you know, we'll get it stopped. Little did I know what it was going to turn into.
Yep. So were you out of the house when the fire hit there?
We had come from up north, hosed the houses and the barns off, left Dave in the tractor, and headed back into town. And we're going to go to the fire station and see where they needed water or where they needed our spray rigs. We got to town, pulled into the fire station, and my phone rang. I'm not sure what exact time it was. But my phone rang, and it was David, and he said, the wind has shifted up here. And he said, it's, you know, I can already see embers blowing here. I mean, we were north of the Rock House, so I'm saying it's probably a good 12 miles, 10 to 12 miles up there from his house.
Yeah.
And within 40 minutes' time, he was already seeing smoke and embers. And where we were here in town, the wind was still out of the southwest.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there looking at the flag going, how is the wind blowing out of the, you know, so it happened pretty quickly. So at that point in time, I could hear a little bit of a panic in his voice. He said, you know, get back out here. And we had dumped our tanker when we filled the Mineola Fire Department up. We had run off maybe 1,000 gallons onto them. And so I thought, we've got a little bit of time. Let's go top off our truck and our spray rig again before we head out there. So we went to the fill-up station and started filling our tanker. And at that point in time, got another phone call from Dave, and he said, it's on top of me. I can't see. I don't know where I'm. So we panic, and we head that way, and we hit that smoke wall just about 3-4 miles north of town. And
what color was it?
Black.
Was it black?
It was just a wall of black. Russ Hensley was sitting in with me, and at this point in time, we had two tankers. We had our water wagon, which holds, you know, has 3,000 gallons, and then whatever our tanker holds and our spray rig. Russ Hensley was with me as we were headed north back out to the ranch, probably 3 miles, almost to Randall Spare's house when that hit us. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget. I mean, I could barely see Russ in the cab with me, and he just looked at me and he said, this might be it. I mean, we're in a world of trouble here. And, you know, we kind of flipped a U, kind of got in a position where we felt safe and kind of let that smoke wall pass. And
how close did the fire come to you sitting there?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it was...
You couldn't see it with the smoke?
I couldn't see it with the smoke. We had wheat fields on both sides of us, so I knew that, you know, we should be safe here. But the stuff in the ditches, you know, we didn't know if that stuff was on fire. And we couldn't see a thing. And I panicked, and I know I'm trying to turn around in the middle of a road with a trailer on. I got two tankers and coming up behind me. I know that they can't see. And so I don't know if I'm getting ready to get hit from them, from the smoke, because you can't, I mean, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. But it didn't last very long.
How'd you breathe?
I don't even know. I can't recall what we, you know, I don't remember pulling my shirt over my face or anything like that. I think I was so panicked.
Too busy driving?
Yeah, I was too busy driving, thinking I'm going to get hit. And like I said, it moved so fast. That smoke wall, I mean, it was, I don't know how long it lasted, but it couldn't have been more than a minute or two. And it was clear. I mean, it was moving that fast out of the north when it hit us.
Yep.
And so my thought, the last thing I'd heard from Dave was, you know, I don't know where I'm at. It's on top of me. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, gosh, you know, he might not be alive. I need to get out, or he might be in really serious trouble.
Right.
We've got to get out there. And as soon as we could kind of start to see again, we start to proceed on north. And then he called and said, I'm fine. The house is fine. He said, I don't know how. He said, you know, the barns are on fire. The haylot's on fire. But just get out here and let's put these barns out. And so we proceeded on. And one of my biggest mistakes is we drove around the curve, and I could see the house sitting there. Sorry. I could see the house sitting there, and I could see no flames on it. I could see the barns that were on fire. And Dave was yelling at me on the phone, you know, let's go, let's get these barns put out. And all I had to have done is just swung by the house, and I might have seen that it was on fire on the back side. But instead, we all kept going, and I had a fire truck with me at the time. I'm trying to think who it was that was with me. At any rate,
it was Adam Elliott.
Adam Elliott was one of them.
The only one I know that was there.
Deb Pierce,
Dan
Pierce was with us. And so I just went and, hang on, can I take this? She says
sure.
An emergency here.
Hello?
Yeah?